You please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, continuing our series and growing in faith. We've been looking at a number of Old Testament persons of faith, and this week's message, as well as next week, focus on the person of Moses. Moses and his faith. He's sort of next in the batting order. We're going to look at verse 23 today, and then we're going to skip ahead to verses 27 and 28. We'll come back next week and fill in the gap with verses 24 through 26. You know, last week we spoke about Joseph. We finished in verse 22 with Joseph. And there's a 400-year gap, historically speaking, a 400-year gap between Joseph in Hebrews 11, 22 and Moses in verse 23. In the Old Testament, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about what happened during those 400 years. But we do know this. During this time, the Israelites increased greatly in number. We know that a new Pharaoh, he did not know Joseph, came into power. He put slave masters over the Israelites, and he subjected them to forced labor. And this was a very bitter time in Israel's history. The Egyptians treated them ruthlessly. The entire nation was held captive as slaves. God had told Abraham way before all this happened. He told him this was going to happen. He even told him how long this captivity would last, 400 years. And now the end of the 400 years was nearing, and God raised up a deliverer for his people, just as he had promised. And that deliverer's name was Moses. So we're going to look at Moses today. We're in Hebrews 11, verses 23, 27, and 28. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 23, says this: "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Jumping forward to verse 27 now, "By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look into your Word now, we pray that you would indeed speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And help us as we look at this new lesson of faith today through Moses and his parents. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about fear. And fear is a very powerful motivator. Fear can cause us to do things we don't want to do. Or fear can stop us from doing things that we should do, right? Fear can drive us to action, or fear can paralyze us and stop us right in our tracks. One fear that we all seem to experience to one degree or another is the fear of other people, right? We fear what other people can do. We fear how other people might react. We fear what other people think. However, God does not want us to be bound by the fear of man. Rather, he wants us to fear him first and foremost. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And when the Bible talks about us fearing God, it doesn't mean being afraid of God in the sense of being, you know, scared to death of him and running the other way and not wanting anything to do with him. No, that isn't the type of relationship that God desires to have with us. God loves us as a father loves his child. He wants us to love him as our heavenly Father. But God also does want us to recognize his holiness and his awesome power and might. God wants us to take his instructions seriously. God wants us to treat him with the utmost reverence and respect. And that's what the Bible is talking about when it says that we are to fear the Lord. And when we truly fear God in this way, we will find that the fear of man, that's no longer a problem for us in the same way that it once was. You know, last week we learned that you cannot worry about the future and have faith in God at the same time, right? That worry and faith, they are mutually exclusive. Well, in the same way, fear and faith are also mutually exclusive. You cannot fear man and trust God at the same time. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says this. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You know what? God wants us to be bold as Christians. He wants us to fear nothing but God Himself, to stand strong in our Christian testimony, and to stand up for the truth of God's Word and what is right. And one of the lessons of faith that we learn from the life of Moses is simply this. Faith means fearing God rather than man. Fearing God rather than man. We're going to see this first in Moses' parents at the time of his birth, and then we'll also see this later on in Moses' life as an adult. Fearing God rather than man, that takes faith, because you can't see God, right? But you can definitely see man, and that's why we often give in to the fear of man. Both Moses and his parents feared God rather than man. That's the faith lesson we want to learn for ourselves this morning. So let's take a look at Moses' parents first in Hebrews 11:23. You know, the chronologies in the Bible identify Moses' parents for us. Their names were Amram and Jochebed. Amram was the father, Jochebed the mother. And from Amram and Jochebed, we learn that fearing God rather than fearing man means, first of all, this. Here's our first application. That you should not obey commands that go against God. Do not obey commands that go against God. Look at Hebrews 11:23 with me now. It says this. By faith, okay, this is all about faith, right? By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Fearing God rather than man means that you should not obey commands that go against God. That's a pretty simple concept, isn't it? It's also a very important principle from Scripture. God is the ultimate authority in life. And so when somebody commands us to do something that goes against God, we should clearly put God first, right? So why is this one so hard for us to put into practice? One simple reason. Because of the fear of man. We fear the power or the authority or the influence that someone else can have in our lives. And so what do? We give in to that fear and we go against God. Now, the Bible tells us in a number of places that we should submit to those in authority over us. We should submit to those in authority. God is the one who has established authority for us in government, at work, in the church, and at home. And God requires us as Christians to submit to those who are in positions of authority. And so wives should submit to their husbands. Children should honor and obey their parents. Workers should obey their bosses. Church members should obey their leaders. And citizens should obey the laws that govern their society. But there is one very clear exception, okay? One clear exception to this biblical principle of submitting to authority, and that is when someone commands you to do something that goes against God. You know, we find a number of examples of this in the Bible. Let me give you a couple. For example, in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, when King Darius of the Persians commanded that no one should pray to any god or man except himself, what do we read that Daniel did? We read Daniel went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And 3 times a day, right in front of that open window, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before, fearing God rather than man. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when the Jewish court commanded the disciples to stop teaching in the name of Jesus, they said, you cannot do that anymore. What did they say? They said, we must obey God rather than men. And then back to the Old Testament, book of Exodus, when Pharaoh in Egypt commanded the Hebrew midwives to kill any Hebrew boy at the time of delivery, we read that the midwives feared God. They feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. They obeyed God rather than man. And now we come to Moses' parents here in Hebrews 11:23. You know, at the time that Moses was born, Pharaoh had a standing order. Every male child that is born to the Hebrew parents, he had to throw him into the Nile River and drown him. But Moses' parents, what did they do? They chose not to obey Pharaoh's command. Instead, they hid Moses for 3 months after he was born. And our verse here in Hebrews 11:23 gives us two reasons why they did this. First reason is this. It says, because they saw that he was no ordinary child. They saw he was no ordinary child. Now, different Bible translations, they translate this verse in different ways. Sometimes you read, they saw that Moses was a beautiful child or a fine child, a proper child. You even find an unusual child. And the Greek word here actually means elegant or proper or well-pleasing. Then when you go back to the book of Exodus, it says there that his mother saw that he was a fine child. These are all saying the same things in different ways. The Hebrew word there is a word that means good or excellent. Now Josephus, you may have heard his name before, he was a Jewish historian who lived around the time of Jesus. And he records in his historical works that Moses was a beautiful child and an exceptionally large child for his age. In fact, he writes that when Pharaoh's daughter first saw the baby, she was greatly in love with it on account of its largeness and beauty. Josephus continues to write, he says, God did also give him that tallness when he was but 3 years old that was wonderful. And for his beauty, it happened frequently that those who met him as he was carried along the road were obliged to turn again upon seeing the child, that they left what they were about and stood still a great while to look on him, for the beauty of the child was so remarkable and natural to him on many accounts that it detained the spectators and made them stay longer to look upon him. So according to Josephus, okay, what he writes in his histories, Moses was a real head turner, right? You know, you walk by him, you go, whoa, look at that baby. He is something else. Big baby, beautiful features, a striking child. Now, Josephus also records that there were several prophecies that supposedly took place before Moses' birth. He records that one of the wise men in Pharaoh's court predicted that a Hebrew male child would grow up to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. He records that God spoke to Moses' father in a dream about Moses, saying, "This child of yours shall be concealed from those who watch to destroy him. And when he is brought up in a surprising way, he shall deliver the Hebrew nation from the distress they are under from the Egyptians. His memory shall be famous while the world lasts, and this not only among the Hebrews, but foreigners also." And then according to Jewish tradition, Moses' older sister Miriam also prophesied before his birth, saying this, "My parents shall have another son who shall deliver Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians." So that's a lot of information. You go, well, what are we supposed to do with all of that? What was it about Moses that caused his parents to hide him for 3 months? Was it just because he was a large and beautiful child, or was there something more, right? I mean, doesn't every child believe their child is beautiful? Of course we do, and they are. And then what about all these prophecies and predictions that Josephus writes about? Did they really happen? We don't know, right? They're not recorded in the Bible, but they're recorded in historical works. We don't know. Or how about Miriam? Now, we do know this about Miriam, okay? We do know that Miriam was a prophetess, okay? The Bible tells us that in Exodus 15:20. But did she prophesy about Moses before his birth? Possible. Once again, Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know for sure. What we do know is this, that Moses' parents recognized something special about their child. Hebrews 11:23 says, they saw that he was no ordinary child. And that word saw there in verse 23, it's a word that could also be translated to know or to discern. And so they discerned that there was something special about Moses, and they hid him in direct defiance of the king's command. That's what we see next in verse 23. It goes on to say that they were not afraid of the king's edict. They weren't afraid. Now Josephus, once again, tells us that the king's edict did more than just command the death of the Hebrew boys. In fact, the full edict of Pharaoh read this way, that if any parents should disobey him and venture to save their male children alive, that they and their families should be destroyed. So in keeping Moses alive, Amram and Jochebed, they were taking a real risk here, right? If their baby was discovered alive, not only would they be killed, their whole family would be killed along with them. But what does Hebrews 11 tell us? It says they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of the king's edict. They had discerned something special about Moses from God, whether through the prophecies or through some general sense of spiritual discernment. They knew that it was wrong to murder a child. Anyways, they feared God rather than man. And they chose at great risk not to obey a command that would go against God. How about you this morning? Do you ever experience this conflict between human commands and God's commands? For example, have you ever been asked to lie at work? Or to misrepresent a product? Or to do something that you know is unethical or dishonest? Who do you obey in such circumstances? Are you going to obey God or man? I remember the very first time I was asked to lie at work. The very first time. I was 22 years old. I was fresh out of college. I had my first job as a recording engineer in a sound studio in Los Angeles. It's what I trained for and prepared for, and finally landed the job. And my boss told me to lie to a client. So I had a choice now, right? Am I going to obey God or obey man? And you know what? I blew it that time. First time out, I blew it. I lied to the client. I gave into the pressure. I did the wrong thing. And afterwards, I just felt so bad inside. Really felt like I'd failed God. And so afterwards, I went and I met with my boss in his office, and I talked to him about it. And I asked him, I said, please don't ask me to do that again. I cannot lie for you in the future. And I was really scared. I was certain he was going to fire me. I was going to lose my job. But you know what? Instead, I gained my employer's trust. And he realized that if I would not lie for him, that I was not going to lie to him either. And God blessed my decision to take a stand that day, even though I blew it at first. You see, fearing God rather than man means that you do not obey commands that go against God. Moses' parents, they chose to obey God rather than man because they saw that Moses was no ordinary child, and because they did not fear the king's edict. So that's our first faith application. Do not obey commands that go against God. Now, the next verses, verses 24 through 26. Remember, we're going to look at those verses next week. They look at a very different aspect of Moses' faith. So we're going to jump ahead to verses 27 and 28 now. Moses is an adult now. He's no longer a child. And verses 27 and 28 give us two more examples of how we can apply this faith principle of fearing God rather than man. So verse 27, the example we find here is this. Fearing God rather than man means this, that you do not fear the reaction of others when you seek God. Do not fear the reaction of others when you're seeking God. Look at verse 27 with me now. It says this. By faith, there's our theme. By faith, Moses left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses left Egypt without fearing the negative reaction from Pharaoh that was bound to happen. He left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. Now, one question that sometimes comes up about this verse has to do with which time is this verse talking about when Moses left Egypt? Because Moses actually leaves Egypt twice. Did you know that? He left Egypt twice. First time he left Egypt was early on when he killed an Egyptian slave driver who was abusing a fellow Israelite. At that time, he left Egypt. He went to Midian. He stayed there for 40 years until God met him at the burning bush, right? And then God sent him back. Said, go to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. That was the first time. And then he left Egypt the second time, right? When he led the people of Israel out of Egypt at the time of the Exodus. So which time does verse 27 mean? Is it the first time or the second time? Well, I think it's probably not the first time, because if you go back to the book of Exodus and read about that first time, you see this. The day after Moses killed that Egyptian, he then tried to separate two Hebrews who were fighting. And one of them mentioned what Moses had done the day before. And then we read this in Exodus chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, Moses was afraid. Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. And then verse 15 continues, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. And so it's pretty clear, when Moses left Egypt the first time, why did he go? Because he was afraid. He was afraid of Pharaoh. He's afraid of Pharaoh's anger. What does Hebrews 11:27 say? Moses left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. So verse 27 is most likely talking about the second time Moses left Egypt. This is the time of the Exodus. Makes much more sense in the context of this verse. And then verse 27 goes on to say that Moses persevered during this time. And so this is probably talking about the whole time of the leaving. From the first time Moses goes up to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And you've got the 10 plagues. And all that time, Pharaoh's getting madder and madder at Moses. And this whole time, Moses is saying, nope, we're going to leave Egypt. I'm not going to be afraid of the king's anger. He perseveres. He persevered. And the word persevere there, it's a word that carries the idea of having the strength to endure. And you've got to say, well, what was it that gave Moses the strength to persevere, to endure, despite Pharaoh's extreme anger and wrath? And verse 27 tells us why. It says, Moses persevered. Why? Because he saw him who is invisible. That's kind of a strange sentence, isn't it, when you think about it? He saw it. How do you see someone who's invisible? Isn't the definition of invisible? You can't see them, right? He saw him who's invisible. Some people think this verse may be referring to when Moses saw God at the burning bush. Possibility. That could be part of what it's saying here. But I think it speaks more naturally here of Moses' faith. Remember the first thing we learned about faith at the beginning of this chapter? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Moses persevered because he saw the invisible God through the eyes of faith. By faith, he focused on God who was invisible rather than on Pharaoh who is right in front of his face, right? Moses was seeking God by faith, and therefore he did not fear Pharaoh's reaction. Okay, let's bring it back to ourselves once again. Do you ever let your fear of other people's reactions keep you from seeking God, from serving God, from speaking up for God? For example, when someone asks you on a Monday, so what did you do this weekend? Do you tell them about Friday and Saturday and Sunday afternoon and just kind of skip over that church part, right? You know, or do you tell them, oh, man, went to church Sunday, we worshiped God, this is what I learned. Do you do that, or are you afraid of people's reaction? When somebody comments on some item in the news, and you know what the Bible says about it, you know what the truth is about this situation, do you talk about that? Do you share God's truth about the matter? Or are you afraid of their reaction? When God answers some prayer in your life, or maybe you're just filled with joy in God through the Holy Spirit, do you tell other people about that? Do you tell people, you say, man, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm so glad that Jesus saved me and I know God. You know what? You know, God answered my prayers. What a great God I serve. Do you share that with people? Do you give verbal testimony to your faith? Or are you afraid of people's reactions? From Moses' dealings with Pharaoh, we learn this very important lesson of faith. Remember, faith is putting things into action. Do not fear the reaction of others when you are seeking God. do not fear. So we're talking about this whole faith principle of fearing God rather than man. And we've looked at two applications of this principle so far, right? Do not obey commands that go against God. Don't obey them. Number two, do not fear the reaction of others when you seek God. And now that brings us to our third application of our faith principle this morning. Know this, that when you fear God rather than man, you will not suffer the same consequences as those who refuse God. You will not suffer the same consequences as those who refuse God. Look at verse 28 with me now. It says this, by faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. You know, this third application, this one really serves more as a motivation, a reason why we should fear God rather than man. When you fear God rather than man, know that you will not suffer the same consequences as those who refuse God. And we see this happening with Moses and the Israelites and the Egyptians. You know, Hebrews 11:28 says, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And that sprinkling of blood, this refers to what happened with that 10th and final plague on Egypt. It took place in the night of that first Passover when God told Moses he was going to send a destroying angel to take the lives of every firstborn son in Egypt. And God gave Moses very specific instructions. He told them what he and the rest of the Israelites should do in order to preserve the lives of their own firstborn. Each household was to slaughter a Passover lamb. They were to take some hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and then put some of the blood on the top of the door frames and on the two sides of the door frame. And then when the Lord went through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he would see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, and he would pass over. That's where we get the name Passover, right? He would pass over that doorway. He would not permit the destroyer to enter that house and strike down their firstborn. Hebrews 11:28 also tells us that Moses kept the Passover. And when it's saying that, it's not just meaning that Moses kept it for himself. He did it himself too. But it's referring to Moses, you know, instituting the Passover for all of Israel. Moses directed all of Israel to do what God said. He told them to follow God's instructions as a lasting ordinance for themselves and for their descendants. What was Moses doing when he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood? He was fearing God, right? He was fearing God. What did we say fearing God is? He was recognizing God's holiness, power, and might. He was taking God's instructions seriously. He was treating God with the utmost reverence and respect. And as a result of Moses fearing God rather than man, what happened? Moses preserved the firstborn of Israel, all the firstborn of Israel, from the destroyer. At midnight that night, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons of Egypt, but the destroying angel passed over the homes of the Israelites who had sacrificed the lambs, who had applied the blood to their door frames in obedience to God's commands. Their sons were spared. The destroyer did not even touch them. Moses and the Israelites feared God rather than man, and as a result, they did not suffer the same consequences as the Egyptians did with their firstborn sons. You know what? The principle is the same for us today. It's just as true for us as believers today. When you fear God rather than man, you also will not suffer the same consequences as those who refuse God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 6 puts it very simply, very clearly. It says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And in New Testament terms, we would say those who put their faith in Christ, those who are trusting Jesus to be their Savior. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Two different consequences, right? Two different sets of results. And of course, that still takes faith to believe, right? You have to believe that God truly does punish the wicked. You have to believe that God truly does reward those who trust in Him. You have to take God seriously, right? Fearing the Lord. You have to treat God with reverence and respect. And so what is a primary motivation or reason for fearing God rather than man? You will not suffer the same consequences as those who refuse God. So our faith lesson for today is real simple. One of the ways we demonstrate true biblical faith is what? By fearing God rather than man. And then from Moses and his parents, we learn three applications from this principle. Do not obey commands that go against God. Number two, do not fear the reactions of others when you seek God. And number three, know that you will not suffer the same consequences as those who refuse God. You know, we read earlier in Proverbs 29:25 at the beginning of the message, we read that the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. You know what? The fear of man, that is a snare. The fear of man can keep you from being and doing all that God wants for you and for your life. And so just like Moses, you and I, we need to find strength through faith. Moses persevered. He found strength to endure because he saw him who is invisible. And we need to do the same. We need to see God through the eyes of faith. When I was baptized at the age of 12, I was asked to choose a verse to share with the congregation. And I still remember the verse that I shared. It's still one of my favorites. Psalm 118, verse 6, which simply says this, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" You know what? That verse seems just as appropriate today as it did back then. The fear of man is a snare, so don't be trapped by it. Fear God, not man. That takes faith. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the example of Moses and his parents teaching us this important principle of faith, to fear you, Lord, and not those around us. Lord, next time we run up against a command that goes against your commands, Lord, help us to respond in faith rather than fear. Lord, the next time we have an opportunity to speak up for you and we might fear the reaction of those around us, help us to respond in faith rather than fear. And Lord, we thank you for your promise that when we do that, when we fear you rather than those around us, we are not going to suffer the same consequences as those who've refused you. But Lord, you will watch over us. You watch over the way of the righteous. And you will lead us in your paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.